here. We'll go ahead and get started in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7 for this study, and then lesson 12 in our workbooks. Before we begin, Uncle David, would you mind leading prayer for class? Thank you. So far in chapter 5, James has discussed the rich and their thoughts and actions, which introduced the idea of delayed peace and treasure for the sacrifice of suffering. Now, the rich will enjoy their time, quote unquote, enjoy their time in the present, in the world, but only for a short time. And is leading to eternal suffering, and they're not making the sacrifice of suffering now, as we're being told to. And with that being stated, he goes back to addressing his brethren with what they can do regarding suffering and dealings of the current earth, and then with being just after this, the first six verses, how they can deal with others in that regard, specifically the rich and such, with what they can do with patience. Let's go ahead and read verses 7 through 12. Dad, would you read verses 7 through 12 of James 5?
Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, the coming of the Lord of all denied. Put not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, you count them happy which you do. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, but the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by the earth, neither by any other oath. For, but let your yea be yea, and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation.
Good, thank you. So James' charge now is patience, given the things that he's discussed, and patience in general, and how we are to live our lives, and expectant and looking towards God's will of things. Now he brought this up initially in chapter 1 with verses with 3 and 4, calling patience to have her perfect work. Verses 3 and 4 reading, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So now with chapter 5, in verse 7, given the two So now with verse 7, given the two sections being brought up in chapter 1, and now with chapter 5, What could be the perfect work that is realized through patience? Yep, that's and then specifically with what's specifically said about it, given verse 7 there of chapter 5. What comes about because of the patience? Those are good answers, and certainly with the way I phrased it, I think that's specifically a good answer for it. But the coming of the Lord comes after working with patience. That's what James is specifically referring to, being patient until going to the coming of the Lord, and then, of course, receiving those rewards and such as we go. And that's certainly a part of it. We look with patience, we look toward the spiritual goal that's coming out of patience and waiting on the Lord. We kind of touched on this with verse 3 last Wednesday, and I agree with Randy's point that he made of the last days being primarily a man's last day, looking towards your end and making that decision in anyone's life. And making that recognition of what needs to be done. Which makes even more sense as we can see between the two sections, verses 1 through 6 and 7 through 12, of 1 through 6 being a finite goal, that last days, those are clearly an end to something, and the other one being the spiritual goal. And Christians look towards the spiritual infinite goal of the coming of the Lord, the establishment of His kingdom, His judgment upon those who are wicked. The worldly will only look to the physical end, and those that are patient in suffering are to go and see the ultimate goal after that, and being realized through the coming of the Lord. So, with that, let's take a look at question one in our workbooks here. How does patience relate to their oppression by the rich? So how does verse 7 relate to verses 1 through 6 there? So then by that relation too, with verse 6, the just that's referred to there is the one that's patient, the one that is waiting, and they're doing so justly and in righteousness, doing it as God would have. Michael, did you have something? No. Yeah, so with the patience that they have in relation and oppression to the rich, the patience that you have waiting on this sort of thing, it makes way for the Lord's will to be done, not trying to supersede your own not trying to force anything of that. It lets the Lord work in the way He's going to work. Now, I say let's kind of in quotes, because Lord's will is going to be done no matter what anyway. But when we can allow that, when we can let that be okay in our lives, that's when we can get the true relief from and the payoff from the patience that we can have. Right. Yes. So, in the workbook, relating to James referring to the coming of the Lord here in these couple of verses, I just want to touch on, the author of the workbook gives three suggestions from interpretations as to what James could be referring to as the coming of the Lord. So, the author makes a lean towards James referring to the second coming of Christ, which I do agree with, but I don't necessarily agree with that it's three separate points throughout that last column on page 49 there. In that, I believe that they refer to primarily the same thing, all in one, encapsulated, evidenced by the draweth nigh that he says in verse 8, coming to a reference for me, for there cometh quickly, that John repeats over and over, and Jesus even says at the end of Revelation. And then the first point, referring to a more physical view of God's punishment, separate from the second coming of Christ. But I think that the prophecies of the judgment are in the same, one the same vein between those two. Yeah. Randy, did you put your hand up? Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, no, I only bring it up because it's because of the verses. It's in the verse, and so I'm going to address it. But I wanted to just say that, and of course, it's kind of just a introduction to when we'll talk more about it in Revelation as well. That side of it, but I certainly agree, and it relates to the same point of in the last days. It's the judgment that's to come. It's what to look forward to, and that's the context that we can look at it in here now. Yeah, good point.
So it speaks to the idea that James is very well aware that his brother is alive. Mm-hmm. That all the promises of the hope that was given, that they would see Jesus in Jesus in the church, were all things that the Lord, those things are very real. Somebody like James, I think in particular, having rejected Jesus on the earth, coming to terms with it before he actually said it.
Yeah, right. Yep. Just to finish out that point and my point of the three being the same in the column that he has, if you want to, we won't go there now, but if you want to look at Luke chapter 21 and verses 8 through 28, I think that's when Jesus is going through and talking about the same things in the same ways as far as those three things relating to one another. So you can look that up on your own, but we won't go too far into that from there. So with that in mind, if that's the case of the coming of the Lord being being something that is particularly done already, if you'll humor me at least for this, with that being the case, does the same patience that James is talking about with the people he's writing to relate to us in particular in that way? Yeah, so certainly patience in general is what we're is obviously an important point to have in a Christian walk of life too. But I want to look at if it's in this context of specifically if the second coming, if the coming of the Lord has already begun, then or not begun, has already happened, then if their patience is towards the coming of the Lord, then our patience would be slightly different from that as well. We still have the core of patience in waiting for the Lord to make a judgment in the man's last days, makes a judgment on any man. But if that's the case, then what is our main patience for, if it's different?
Gives us peace, gives us comfort, helps all of us. Gets through the difficult times because we're called to joy, not called to peace. But our call to peace is being doable. We are to be doable. We persist, we persevere. But we're called to joy because we have patience to wait on the Lord. We'll be taken care of. What seems out of our control is in control of the one we look at here. That should really be true of these people.
Yep.
No matter how bad it is.
Right.
Thank you.
So if we wait, in this context, we wait to go to the Lord. We wait for that final judgment, and we have patience for that judgment for us and then for others, those doing wrong and such. Whether we feel that it would be righteous judgment to do something sooner, it's in God's time and in God's hands, and we can have our relief in that. Patience is still required no matter what context you look at it in, as it benefits many, if not all, of avenues of life and so much that we do. So no matter which patience we have, no matter what time that we have patience, we can still trust in God's judgment in all things, in judgment of the wicked, for them to receive their due in time too. So I'd like to read Romans chapter 12 for the moment here. Romans chapter 12, verse 14 through 21. Brendan, would you mind reading that? Romans 12, 14 through 21. Good, thank you. So I think this in particular can speak towards the work that patience is that we have with the things that you could do in being patient and show being patient. We obviously know a main point from this passage is not taking vengeance, letting the Lord handle vengeance with righteous judgment, letting Him be the only final judge for those things. And there are things we can do in order to keep us from causing trouble to ourselves, and it gives way to God's will to conduct Himself as He's promised us that He will in our lives and in His time. Yeah, there's some. I see often that it's with there in verse 19, at least the way it's been quoted to me in the past and such, is just saying, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." But I think "I will repay" is another important or at least interesting part about it, because it's a guarantee that the Lord is telling us. It's what He's going to do, and of course we know the Lord is truth, and so that is going to be done as He says it will. Yeah, that's a good point. I like that, pulling that out of it too. Yeah. So patience keeps us from causing that trouble. James relates God's judgment in his actions to fruit in the field of a husbandman here in verse 7. So relating to our patience, what fruit comes from being patient, from our patience that we are supposed to have? How does that relate to this analogy? Yep. Yep. Certainly other aspects come out of this, come out of being patient and waiting on the Lord's will. Is there anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And in all those things, God's will is being done as those things are produced, and all those describe up into the main fruit of letting God's will be done in His time and adhering to that in all things. Yeah, that's where my mind was going next with it too. you can't just plant something. Some will just, you can leave alone and it'll do. But most of the time, there's work that goes into it. You need to maintain that and you keep other things away from it, keep weeds away from it and such. And even if it's not directed at that plant, are you going to sit there and watch it grow the entire time? There's other things. Idleness is different from patience. There's other things to be done while you wait on another thing. And so you can rely on the Lord to take care of the other things, especially. There's so much at the smaller cellular level that God takes care of, and we can't affect necessarily, at least with ourselves. Without specific tools and such, but there's so much that God handles with planting something that is growing, giving it sustenance, of the processes the earth has in rejuvenating and taking itself over and working to bring something up. So, of this fruit. That we can receive through patience. What is the precious part of it? I thought it was specific that James wrote precious fruit. There's an extra descriptor in there. So what would be precious of this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It goes beyond just the actual thing that's being grown. There are fruits that come out of that and come from it. Yeah.
Preciousness is having a high value. A farmer, that's different. You pay off the child, he doesn't receive the fruit from the labor involved in the work. I think it's just community exercise. So when you get it,
and that ultimately is in the as spiritually we have the righteousness that's being done, that's coming of that of those fruit. We have the wonderful reward of true patience, and unlike the husbandman illustration, it's guaranteed for us. Sometimes when you plant something, if you don't do enough or to one end or another, then nothing can come out of it. Here dealing with things physically, but when we deal with things spiritually and our patience and the planting of that, then it is guaranteed to us as God has promised us. These things, the good, the righteousness, the reward that we get out of it, won't be taken away as it's sown properly in the right spirit and heart. At least there was some work. It wasn't just rocks off to the side. That right. There's some work that went into it. So it's God's will having, which should have the utmost value. Excuse me. Have the utmost value in our lives. That should the preciousness that comes from it. And then there's value in us not being a burden with having to judge. I've made mention of that before. There's benefit to us not having to have our will be the final say on everything, because we make mistakes. And when we do, we don't want those to have. If you make a mistake, you don't want it to have such a giant effect on something. And so with our imperfect will, that's can be a detriment. But when we are able to rely on God's will, we know it's perfect, and that all things will be done according to it. So with that being the case, and the outcomes of patience, let's answer question three here. In our workbook, what circumstances were tempting the Christians to be impatient for those he was originally writing to? Those are all very good points. Yeah, and we can certainly see, even just in the things James mentioned here in his book, we can see the things that would lead to that could lead to impatience or wanting to do something about it. The persecution is an obvious one. There's apparently infighting that he noticed and addressed there in chapter 4. And then, of course, the abuse from the rich in the first part of chapter 5 that they would have. And then even the cruel words of the tongue that he discussed there in chapter 3. So there's multiple ways that can be grating on people in wanting them to spur them to do something about it in some way. But these are things that should be handled and can be handled by God in waiting on him. So then with question four, what circumstances in our day would subject people to the same temptation? Say again? Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Right. I think the principles are certainly, they're all about the same aspects. I think it's amplified by the speed that our society is generally, especially in the past, even just in my lifetime, past 20 years or so, of how fast things are going, the acceleration that we have in our day-to-day lives, that does not help speeding, does not help wanting us to be patient about things when we have instant gratifications and anything that we want at our fingertips for the most part. There are so many places and ideas and information that you can get, recreation even, of what you can have immediately. And then there are, which puts, if it was hard for people to work on God's timeline in the past, then it's even harder to deal with as we deal with smaller bits of time in our lives.
Yes, sir. I still get love in my body sometimes when I did. But I actually feel a slight disappointment when I work something in my mind. It doesn't say to be here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's next week. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
It was liberating to not have my life.
Yeah. A challenge, and then it's essential if you're trying to live properly. This is a essential part of your life that you need to have to benefit so much, but to be proper in understanding God's will and how long that might be to take. Yep, so I think another point to that could lead to impatience, the temptation for being impatient is just not understanding God's timeline. Of course, that was true of the Christians in that day, and it's true that's a timeless battle, if you will, that humans have had of trying to look in the perspective of God's will, how He goes about it, and the plans that He's laid out and fulfilled. So in verse 8, James says, to be patient like the husbandman, and establish your hearts before the coming of the Lord. So, how does practicing patience relate to establishing of our hearts? How does that work? How do those two things work? That's a very good point. Yes, I certainly certainly agree with that, and I'll relate it kind of with this antidote, I suppose, of like even my preparation with this lesson. I don't try to sit down and do it in one setting. I sit down for a couple of, I'm going to sit down, do it for 4 hours, and then make sure I get it done in one section, because I want to be done with it. That's not the case that I go about it. I wait. I'll go do sections at a time, and then I'll wait. I'm never. I pray about it and make sure that it's not. I'm not being anxious about whether or not it's going to come or not, because I know the Lord's will be done anyway with what I've with what whatever I'm able to present. So, but yes, that's a great point coming out of it of how we can wait on the gospel and how we our knowledge to come in its due time as God will.
Well, I think this verse. My lesson coming up makes me finish up the book. It starts to turn from this, even though it isn't used in words in the first page. That patience establishes our heart, makes us firm, able to stand, ready to serve, even though we haven't seen the judgment, even though we haven't seen the Lord's patience. And he's really saying, don't live your life like what you know the world. Get it done, then I'll believe. Mm-hmm. That's not the way to write it. It's something that's been told forever. It's not simple. This patience helps establish our hearts in the same thing that the Lord says it will do, but therefore it is done.
Right.
That helps us stand on faith for this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the establishment. It won't just be part of the stand, but he's looking to get there to judge it.
Yeah, those certainly, faith and patience go hand in hand with one another in the way we can utilize them in our lives. And it goes back to the point of patience isn't idleness. There are things to be things to recognize and to be done while waiting. Waiting isn't doing nothing. It's it's relying rather than pure idleness. So patience must come from our hearts, and that's it takes our establishment of that and faith and patience to come from our core being. True patience won't be just acting as we should, as we've discussed before of how the heart relates to our actual actions, but practicing patience in full confidence that God will provide the fruit that comes out of that, the fruit of our labors of waiting that comes from that. We know that how we conduct even our thinking is important in guiding your heart to become a purer form of patience and total reliance on God, increasing our faith, establishing our hearts, and benefiting our lives as the Lord intends for us.
James is going to talk about this at some point. 2 Peter 3, verse 4, he's talking about misunderstanding. He says that they say, where is the promise of the covenant? Since the Bible tells us all these continues that work in the end of the world, like judgment on the covenant, he talks about it all the time, and never comes. They're ignorant.
It's interesting you went there because if you would turn to 1 Peter 5, because I have a point to make out of another thing that Peter said there. So 1 Peter 5 and verses 5 through 11, Seth, would you read that for us? 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 11. So here in verse 10, Peter reveals the end of our efforts in waiting on the Lord, and such the time for patience is as we suffer a while we can endure it here, while we endure it here on the earth. Patience is required for suffering, and it establishes our hearts during the meanwhile, and ends with the God of grace making us perfect, establishing and strengthening us for our patience to suffer a while. So, and a further point of that to make real quick of the the humility will come with patience as well. You need to humble yourself in adhering to God's will and waiting on Him, and not trying to make any timeline of your own. So what's the difference between, we've kind of touched on this too, what's the difference between just waiting and waiting patiently? Example I think of is it comes from children as well. You have to make them wait. Waiting is a thing that we do as humans. That's non-optional. You have to wait on things. Some things just take time, but there's a difference with ways that we can wait patiently and doing it properly. A key to that is not grudgingly, that we will come into here in the next verses as well. Contently waiting, doing so, understanding that these things need to be done, and we can remove our anxiousness and worries that we can have from it as well. So I think that's a good stopping point for this morning. Lord willing, we will continue on into verse 9, beginning here with this point. Thank you all for your participation. Lord willing, we'll continue soon.